94.7 The Wave's ongoing pursuit to bring communities to unity.
KTWV HD2 Los Angeles. I'm Frankie Ross. We are live in the studio. Pat Prescott. The two of us are here.
Kind of foreign to both of us.
Yes, we are.
It's been a while.
Yeah. You know, for tonight's episode of Justice Now, we had planned for an exploration of racism in business. But in light of the Jacob Blake shooting, we are shifting gears tonight, and we're going to have an open discussion about the current mood in America in light of these events. We're also going to be inviting you to join us to add your thoughts and feelings and ideas for solutions to these ongoing problems. We got a couple of special guests who are going to be calling in. D.L. Hughley, we'll be talking to in just a few moments. And we're also going to hear from State Representative Steve Bradford about some legislation that's being worked on right now in the California State Senate. But I know this has been another really interesting week, Frankie.
You know, the whole thing just kind of like hit me by surprise. I've been so sidetracked with politics and everything that's going on, and then of course the shooting of Jacob Blake. And we want you to join the conversation. Please call us. Our number 800-520-WAVE, 1-800-520-9283. That's our phone number. Call us. We are taking your calls in the studio. Please feel free. We want to get your input. That's the most important thing. We want to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to start with something that really caught the attention of America last night, and that was after the NBA game during the press conference. Doc Rivers spoke to the media, and this is what he said.
As far as the other situation, it's just so sad. You know, what stands out to me is just watching the Republican convention, and they're spewing this fear, right? Like, all you hear is Donald Trump and all of them talking about fear. We're the ones getting killed. We're the ones getting shot. We're the ones that we're denied to live in certain communities. We've been hung, we've been shot, and all you do is keep hearing about fear. It's amazing to me why we keep loving this country and this country does not love us back. It's really so sad. Like, I should just be a coach. And it's so often reminded of my color, you know? It's just really sad. We gotta do better, but we gotta demand better. Like, we got, you know, it's funny. We protest and they send riot guards, right? They send people in riot outfits. They go to Michigan with guns and they're spitting on cops and nothing happens. The training has to change in the police force. The unions have to be taken down in the police force. My dad was a cop. I believe in good cops. We're not trying to defund the police and take all their money away. We're trying to get them to protect us, just like they protect everybody else. I didn't want to talk about it before the game because it's so hard, like, to just keep watching it. That video, if you watch that video, you don't need to be black to be outraged. You need to be American and outraged. And how dare the Republicans talk about fear? We're the ones that need to be scared. We're the ones having to talk to every black child. What white father has to give his son a talk about being careful if you get pulled over? It's just ridiculous. And it just keeps going. There's no charges. Breonna Taylor, no charges, nothing. All we're asking is you live up to the Constitution. That's all we're asking for everybody, for everyone. Thank you.
That was Doc Rivers speaking to the media last night after the Clipper game. And after that, what happened was that a lot of the basketball players, we heard from so many of them who are, they're all there in the bubble in Orlando. And we're going to share some of those comments with you as well. But, I mean, you know, you could almost run that on a loop.
Yeah.
You know, what Doc had to say there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been going back and forth of course, all this week and last week, too, the conventions. And I've been checking in, of course, the Republican convention. And the one thing that stood out with me when I think her name was Tulsi. She was the, I guess, was there, is that her name? I can't think of her name now. It just, all of a sudden, just his comment just... Nikki Haley.
Oh, okay.
Nikki Haley. When she said in her speech that America is not racist, there's no racism in the United States. It doesn't exist. That just, you know, I can't believe it, really. I just... I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if you watched any of it. I know. But, you know, I just have to, because I just have to just check in and out and see what's being, just hear what's being said and see what they're saying. And that stuck out, I think, the most with me when she made that comment. And they've been running it pretty much on a loop on CNN and all the other news outlets. That just to make that statement, I'm floored by it.
You know, when we started doing this program 3 months ago, when after George Floyd was murdered, I remember talking to some of my white friends who, you know, so we've really gained so many allies since that time. You know, people who really are showing concern and a real interest in making some changes. You know, but at the time we talked, they couldn't believe that there will be more. That this is, you know, and we've seen this is not the only incident. And I think for many people, that is something you have to really look at, because people, you can say, oh, well, you know, look at Jacob Blake. He had a record, or Jacob Blake went to go into his car. You could say all of those things. I don't believe that the punishment the crime was worth that punishment.
Yeah, exactly.
To be shot in the back at point blank range
seven times.
Yeah. when there are three kids in the car. There's so many other ways to be, you know, mm-hmm. shoot them in the leg. I mm-hmm. mean, so many other things that could happen. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you look at cases like Breonna Taylor, who was in her bed at home asleep.
Yeah.
You know, no one has been arrested mm-hmm. for that. Mm-hmm. And this is what it is. When they say no justice, no peace, the justice that you're looking for is just equal treatment.
That's all.
When these things happen and humane treatment.
Yeah, we were talking about that shooter before we went on the air. The kid that massacred all those folks in the church with the AR-15,
mm-hmm.
They took him out, and before they took him to jail, he went to McDonald's.
We were trying to find online video of cops shooting.
Yeah.
You know, unarmed white people, and we could not find
it. The
treatment is just not the same. There's so many examples of it. You look, too, in the world of sports. You know, we were hearing about Masai Ujiri, who is the manager and president of the Toronto Raptors, who had an incident with police at the stadium mm-hmm. after they beat the Warriors in the finals last year. And, you know, they showed the footage. You talk about seeing the whole thing. They show footage of this officer, not just in his interaction with Ujiri, but for about 5 minutes prior to that, where every white person that came by was treated so respectfully, and this guy couldn't have been nicer. And, you know, then to forcefully shove Ujiri, who had credentials mm-hmm. and who belonged there, mm-hmm. you know, really, mm-hmm. It's just stunning to see that the difference in treatment truly mm-hmm. is different, and you can see that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It always comes down to, and I say this, I've said this to my kids, you know, no matter where you go, it's always going to come down to the color of your skin. Doesn't matter. You know, it that's what it comes down to. Always. It's the color of your skin. For whatever reason, it gives officers a license to mistreat us, just not treat us the way that everyone else is treated, the way we should be treated.
Yeah. You're listening to 94.7 The Wave. I'm Pat Prescott here with Frankie Ross. This is Justice Now. We would love to hear from you. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-520-WAVE. That's 1-800-520-WAVE. We have Dale Hughley, who'll be joining us soon, and Steve Bradford a little bit later on this hour.
Yeah. I you know, and every time an incident happens, you know, I always have to flash back to a kid coming up. And I can't tell you the countless times just walking down the street with friends, doing what young kids do, going to the mall, going to whatever, and getting stopped for nothing and thrown up against a car and shaken down for nothing. And it's happened LAPD, Inglewood PD, it doesn't matter. It always I've lost count of the times.
It's like a horrible rite of passage, and and people try to say that it's because you were doing something wrong, and so often that is not the case. I mean, you look at Henry Louis Gates being stopped by police on his own porch. I mean, how could he live there and you don't know that he's in your neighborhood? Yeah. And somebody you should know about. But I mean, did he look like he should not have been there? All of this is they're just, I mean, James Blake, the tennis player who was, stopped and thrown to the ground by a policeman in New York City. There are just too many incidents. And we're seeing the impact of it on black people in America, certainly on these athletes. We've been seeing that. And before we take some phone calls, I just want to play for you a clip from LeBron James, a statement that he made last night from the NBA bubble.
Got it. If you're sitting here telling me that there was no way to subdue that gentleman or detain him or to just before the firing of guns, then you're sitting here, you're lying to not only me, you're lying to every African American, every black person in the community. Because we see it over and over and over. There was multiple, if you watch the video, there was multiple moments where if they wanted to, they could have tackled him. They could have grabbed him. They could have done that. And why does it always have to get to a point where we see the guns firing? And his family is there, the kids are there. It's in broad daylight. And who knows? I mean, if that video is not being taken by that person across the street, do we even know if we even see that video? There's like talks about that the cops didn't even have their body cams on. That's a possibility. Quite frankly, it's just up in our community. And us, I know people get tired of hearing me say it, but we are scared as black people in America. Black men, black women, black kids, we are terrified. Because you don't know. You have no idea. You have no idea how that cop that day left the house. You don't know if he walked on the good side of the bed. You don't know if he walked on the wrong side of the bed. You don't know if he had an argument at home with a significant other. You know, if one of his kids said something crazy to him and he left the house steaming, or maybe he just left the house saying that today is going to be the end for one of these black people. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. It hurts. And it's this, through the grace of God, that he's still living. Like 7 shots, close range, and he's still alive. That's through the grace of God right there. And my prayers goes out to that family and that community, but I got nothing nice to say about those cops at all.
Comment from LeBron James, and now let's hear from William. William calling in from Los Angeles this morning. William, are you there? Hello, William? William, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there he is. Okay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Am I on?
Yes, you're on.
Yes. Yeah, my name is William. I'm from Los Angeles. I'm originally from Philadelphia, roots in Georgia and Alabama. And I'm shocked that everyone is so surprised how the police react to black people. This has been going on for my whole entire lifetime. They're trained to shoot to kill, and because of slavery, et cetera, they look at us as second-class citizens. The Constitution tells us we're 3/5 of a person. So, I'm shocked that people are surprised, black people in particular, that they're surprised the way the cops are. And Malcolm X said years ago, he said, I've been a walking dead man my entire life because of all the heck and hell he had to go through. And we're going through it. We're living it. So I don't know why people are surprised about this.
What do you think needs to happen moving forward, William?
Well, you won't like my answer. If you look at the history of the world, anytime change has taken place, a revolution took place. And in revolutions, people have to lose their lives. That's just how it goes, but that's how change comes. Look at the Rodney King thing, 20 years ago. And so many things have changed. And I'm a pacifist. But what they're doing to our children and our young men, you know, it's sickening.
Thanks so much for calling in today to us, William.
Thanks, William.
Yeah, we have another caller on the line. On line one, we have Tracy from Bellflower. Tracy, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for calling in tonight.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having this platform.
So what are your thoughts and feelings about what's going on with Jacob?
Well, it's not just with Jacob. It's just, you know, just being a woman myself. I'm scared to walk out the house. I'm scared to drive. I work in Huntington Beach, and the minute I pull up, you know, the minute I get off the freeway, you know, my heart is racing because, you know, police are zooming past, and it's just a scary scenario just to be black now. It's not okay to be black. They want us to feel ashamed, and I'm very scared. Like I said, even after the shooting with Floyd, you know, I was going to the store, and it's like 12 police pulled up in the Family Dollar, and you know, me and my granddaughter just started crying because they weren't coming at us, but it's just the fear of the fear that they have put on us for so many years. And I'm just scared. Seriously, every day I drive out my house, I'm scared because I don't know what's gonna happen. And you know, if I get pulled over by the police, will I stop? I don't think so, because I don't want to take the chance of getting killed.
Tracy, do you you have kids, family members?
I have four boys and two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And all four of my boys have been harassed by the police. Not just in, like I said, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. So it was worse there as well with the police, you know, just harassing black people, black men. I told my children at a young age, that you listen to me now, but if it gets away from me, there is nothing I can do for you once they get a hold of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scary situation, and you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know how it's going to change. I see the change because, you know, we're mixing our races, and you know, we have a lot of people, you know, that are, you know, inclined. Families are mixed now.
Yes.
So I'm thinking our future, we may have a chance, but how many people have to die before we get there?
That is a very good question. Mm-hmm.
Thank you
so much for calling in today, Tracy. You know, and that, you know, that really is the issue. How many will have to die? And when will different tactics be taken up? We're going to talk to Steve Bradford a little bit later. Thank you so much for joining us for Justice Now on 94.7 The Wave. I'm Pat Prescott here with Frankie Ross, and Steve will be joining us to talk about the Kenneth Roth Jr. Decertification Act and some other bills that are being considered right now by the California State Senate. But this is right now all that anybody is talking about, and their opinions on both sides about this.
800-520-WAVE, 800-520-9283. That's our number. Give us a call. Open forum. Feel free. Pat Prescott and I are here live. Call us. You know what? I was reading a story about LeBron James. He's recruiting poll workers in black communities to get the vote out.
Yeah, he's got a whole voting initiative,
exactly.
And that also includes education about who the candidates are, something that we've been talking about a lot here. On the wave, getting to know what the issues are and who the people are you're voting for. Many people have already decided who they're voting for in the presidential election, but there's so many important races all up and down the ballot.
55%, I was reading, 55% of black Americans are in the South, not in these major cities. We need to really impact the South, I think, you know, as much as possible in this election. We really have to get those voters, especially the swing voters, the ones that are in the middle and really aren't sure. The South is really, I think, could be a turning point in this election. You know, we've had conversations, of course, about the Electoral College and how that works against us. You know, bottom line is we have to vote. We want change. We have to vote. That's the bottom line. We have to get out and do our part. We have to participate in the electoral process.
And it's, there's clearly a movement that's going on in this country right now. And a lot of people are a part of it, people from a lot of different backgrounds and races and creeds and color. But when incidents happen like this over and over again, it is the fatigue of all of that. And yeah, that's what we're talking about today. Thank you so much for your calls. Phone lines are open, 1-800-520-WAVE. And right now on line one, we've got Robert, who is a former L.A. County sheriff, and he's going to join us right now. Robert, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you so much for calling. We'd love to hear from you tonight. What are you thinking, sir?
Well, I'm just thinking about what already is going on, and it's unfortunate. Yeah, there is.
Hello?
It's just wrong. You know, I'm an ex-deputy. We're not trained to do that. We're not trained to mistreat anyone. We're not trained to shoot and kill, like that one gentleman called and said. We're not trained to do that. So, we're trained to protect the public.
And yes, I
hate bad cops too. I was a good cop. I treat everybody the same, respectfully. Whenever I didn't see no color, I didn't care whether you were black, Hispanic, white, Asian. It didn't matter.
So
I feel the same.
So from your experience, what do you think can really be done to enact some changes? Because I think we all know that there are plenty of good cops, you know, people who feel the same way that you feel and felt when you were an officer.
I myself have been mistreated by a department, myself, hazed with the department by other officers. So I know how it is, but to be mistreated. I need these cops to be accountable. They need to be prosecuted like everybody else. We're not above the law.
And what about
I'm sorry?
I was going to say, what about the police unions, though? Because it seems that they have a very, very large part in this, and I'm sure that you were a member of the union when you were there.
Correct.
Yeah. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, the union needs to step up and do their part and make these officers accountable, be strict. You know, there's a lot of hush hush, a lot of cops, they have buddies that are higher ups. So a lot of times they don't want to say anything because they know someone or somebody or have you. So it's no longer, that can't be the case anymore. Everybody has to be accountable. Well, it doesn't matter who you know or what have you. So that's just my take on it.
Yeah, well, we are certainly happy to have you check in with us tonight and to share those comments with us, too.
Yeah, and again, once again, I just want to let the public know that for the most part, I've gone to academies, but we are not, and I'm going to say this again, we are not trained to kill and shoot or shoot and kill anyone. That's just totally false. So I want the public to know that we're not. I can't speak for the bad cops out there that want to do what they want to do, unfortunately, but we're not trained to do that.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for calling. You're listening to 94.7 The Wave. This is Justice Now. I'm Pat Prescott here with Frankie Ross. We're going to be talking to Dale Hughley in just a little bit and also to State Senator Steve Bradford. Right now we're going to hear from Carla, who is calling in, who has something that she feels is a solution to some of this. Carla, how you doing? Thanks for calling and talk to us. Hello, Carla, are you there? All right, I think we lost Carla. Let's see. We've got Dale Hughley on which line?
Yeah, he's on the line.
He's on the warm line.
All right, let's see if we can get him. And we'll get back to DL in just a moment. I think we've got Sandy. Is that on line four? Let's see if we can pick up Sandy. Sandy, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Sandy.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, what I'd like to share with you guys is that I live in Westminster, California. On March the 5th, I was attacked by one of the roommates in the house that I rent a room out of. By the time I made it outside, the police was already there. The policeman that I encountered approached me asking me, like, where's the skillet? It was a skillet that the guy used to attack me. And I explained to him, I said, look, I'm a registered nurse. I would never put my hands on anyone. I said, the only time that you've ever been here was when the other roommate, a female, called because he had attacked and choked her. In their eyes, I had no credibility at all. So they arrested me. There was no Miranda rights. I didn't even know what I was being charged with. And we've been trying to get the video from the Westminster Police Department, and they won't give it. You see me standing in the police station crying, just asking, what are you charging me with? What are you charging me with? I don't even know what you're charging me with. And he turned around and told me he was going to charge me with an assault for a deadly weapon. And I couldn't believe it. I had no integrity, even though they knew this guy had attacked before. They thought that since I was black, his very words verbatim was, we think you did do it. And with that, he had me arrested. He arrested me, and I went to jail for something that I didn't do.
You went to jail?
And I believe in my heart that they don't want to give the video because of everything that's going on right now. And then what makes it even worse was one of the roommates who's white told the police that she thought that I had been drinking. This was like 7:30, 8:30 in the morning, and that was not true. And then the owner of the house, we called her on it, and then, you know, she denied it, that she didn't say it. And now I'm facing charges. I'm going to lose my RN license. I'm going to have to fight for my RN license because of something that I didn't do. And when I got back to the house, the guy who attacked me, and the very words he said to me was, you're the only black here. And to this, and we've been trying to get the videos. They won't even give us a police report. So I'm hoping, and they keep moving the trial. I was supposed to go to trial on the 19th, and now it's been kicked up all the way to December because I don't think they want the videos to come out. It shows this cop coming at me with his mind already made up that I was guilty. And I even told them, I said, look, you know, the only time you've been here was when you came for this guy because he attacked Eva and he was choking her, and he didn't care. You see in this video, you'll see like four or five cops just standing there looking down on me while I was sitting on the curb. And when I tried to get up off that hard curb, it was like, sit out. And the next thing I know, he says, put your hands behind your back. No Miranda rights. When I got to the jail, they tried to slide some white paper in front of me to sign, and I wouldn't sign it.
And you know what? The thing that's terrible about this, Sandy, is that this happens all the time. And we want to thank you for your call. And I thank you for sharing that story with us as well, because there are so many stories like this, unfortunately.
That we don't hear. And usually if there's no video, we don't hear about it.
We don't. And the video is important, though, you know, that people go ahead and shoot that when you can see it, because it's an important thing to do. You're listening to Justice Now on 94.7 The Wave. I'm Pat Prescott here with Frankie Ross, and we thank you so much for joining us today. We've been responding to the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin on Sunday night. It has rippled effects across the country, really, and the NBA especially, where the Milwaukee Bucks decided to pull out of their playoff game tonight, and subsequently the other team scheduled for tonight pulled out as well in protest. We've been talking about that and a whole lot more, and right now joining us in the studio is someone who has a lot to say about this situation, and that is D.L. Hughley. D.L.?
Hey, D.L.
Hey, Frankie. Hey. I'm in there going to get shots from my dermatologist, and you are harassing me.
In the middle of your chemical peel. Okay.
I wish I was only getting a chemical peel. What's happening, baby?
What's going on? You know, we wanted to talk to you because you always, you know, I've always respected your opinion. You always have a your ideas and your outlook on things have always been like right on point to a lot of us. So, being from LA, growing up in LA, seeing the violence, the racism, the police brutality, you've seen it all. You've been around, and you've been around the country, and you've watched it. What's your take on everything? What, you know, and this incident with Jacob Blake being shot in the back 7 times. What's your take on that?
Well, I think that for forever, and I think up until recently, police officers were given the benefit of the doubt, and sometimes deservedly and sometimes not. And obviously, like any profession, you have those who are good and those who are bad. But ultimately, why is it that a unarmed black man or a black man that you or a man of color who you're not sure has a weapon, who you imagine has a weapon, is so much more scary than a young white kid who you know does? And that speaks volumes. And even if we give police officers a presumption, like I guess they have qualified immunity, that speaks, and the Supreme Court deferred to what was in their minds. We have to deal with the fact that something's in their heart before it's in their mind. What they think, it becomes that way. And I think that they act a lot of times off the biases that they have, and it's cost a lot of lives. And I think that ultimately we have to decide, is that the kind of society that we're going to stand for? These things that are playing out have played out since our inception in this country, and the only thing that will make this different is our responses to them. When something like what happens in Kenosha happens, they call in the National Guard, but not to protect the citizens, to protect the building, to protect the businesses. And it would be noteworthy if they were working, there was an earnest effort to protect the citizens that occupy those buildings as opposed to the buildings themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Dale Hughley on 94.7 The Wave. Pat Prescott and Frankie Ross with you this evening. What did you think, Dale, when you heard about the NBA canceling their games tonight?
I think that they've done. I think when I watched what happened with black women voters and they're manifesting their power and their political weight by making the powers that be give them something that they felt like they wanted. I think that the young basketball players are doing the same thing. And like they basically say, well, we won't start shooting until you guys stop. And so I think that the only time society tends to listen to black people in general is when we're running, dancing, singing, shooting, or playing games that kind of anesthetize them against what's going on. And I think people are using that presence to make a statement. And I've never seen anything like that in my life. I'm talking about in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are also
talking about in general. So it's very nerve-wracking to do.
Yeah, you were talking about pretty much what cops have in their hearts, in their spirits, for the most part. That goes back to the whole systemic racism thing that we've been talking about.
Well, listen,
implicit bias is actually what I'm
saying. Well, you can every time something like this happens, they have racial sensitivity training, right? Or they send it to, but you can't train out of person's innate instincts. If they believe a certain thing, what you can do is teach them how not to say them out loud. But when they're given that kind of presumption, ultimately, the FBI in 2008 and 2015 said that the police departments across America were virtually rife with white supremacists and supremacist sympathizers. Why is the answer always what the community can do in response to them, and never their response weeding those bad actors out? And you know, why is it always us teaching our children how to interact with the police, or us being more responsible for our communities? Why is the things that apply to us doesn't apply to them? In our communities, if you see something, say something. Why isn't it that the same thing with them? Police officers are acting like this, even though they know the world is watching. So if they know the world is watching, they're still inclined to act like this. This is innate in them. They can't do anything different. And they don't need to be on the police department. If you know the world is watching and you can't change your behavior, that tells me everything I need to know about you.
Mm-hmm. So it's more of a you're right. I agree. It's more of a sociological thing. It's how you're conditioned from a child to an adult. It's embedded in your DNA.
It certainly is. And we're being joined now also by Karen Adams. Everybody knows Karen from our sister station, KNX.
Hi.
Thank you,
well, you know,
so
I'm
much for being here too, Karen.
I'm going to cry while this is happening because the doctor's injecting my scar. So the whales. That's how much I love you, Frankie. I'm going through this while people are listening to it. You heartless.
You're
son
tough.
That's live radio for you.
You're tough. You've dealt with.
No,
audiences.
I'm not that tough.
You've dealt with live audiences that were tough, so you can handle it.
That's true. He's dealt with a
lot. Well, you know, last time this happened, I blacked out on radio, so I blacked on stage. So
that's not good.
So, damn it.
Karen, what are they saying up in the newsroom? What's going on up there? Any new developments?
Well, as you probably are you guys aware that the Wisconsin Department of Justice, they came out with new information about this case in the shooting death of Jacob Blake. They released the name of the officer. He's been identified as Rustin Chesky. He's a 7-year veteran of the Kenosha Police Force. Officials also say the officer fired all 7 of the shots into Blake's back. Mm-hmm. They also say Blake told officers he had a knife in his possession. One was found in the driver's side floorboard, but it's still unclear if the officer knew of the knife before he fired. Also not clear, the video that's out there that doesn't appear to show whether Blake threatened the officer with the knife. Now, Kenosha officers are not equipped with body cam, so we don't know. It's going to be word of mouth what the witnesses saw and what the officers are saying right now. So meanwhile, the city is once again bracing for more unrest tonight, and the National Guard is helping with that. And that's where we are.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard that the governor...
Hey, Frankie, I'm going to say this. Wisconsin is an open carry state. Mm-hmm. It's an open carry state. So is Minnesota. So it isn't that whether he was armed or not. You can walk down the street with an assault rifle. So a knife shouldn't. If we're gonna accept that that's a premise, we should also accept the fact that the first thing you might ask is what he's doing with that. Mm-hmm. They shot that the same time this happened. The next day, a 17-year-old white kid walked down the street with an AR-15 and shot three and killed two.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he was given the water and arrested. So if that man, in fact, was a danger, why is the AR-15, the person who has the AR-15, given a presumption of professionalism that he isn't? If they'd have whipped his ass and took him to jail, okay. Mm-hmm. But that's not what they did.
Yeah, it is clear bias, you know, mm-hmm. and we look at the situations and they just happen over and over and over again. And even, you know, people want to talk about what Jacob Blake may have done. Whatever he had done, should he have gotten shot 7 times in the back
and
at point blank range?
And in the back.
Was that necessary to stop him? It was not.
When I used to watch cowboy movies, if you got shot in the back, if somebody shot you in the back, you were a coward.
You're a coward.
It's part of training. I will say this, that the young boy, a 17-year-old boy, took an AR-15 and shot 3 protesters. And I'm going to ask them the same thing. Why isn't society asking what they would ask about a 17-year-old black kid who listens to rap? Where were his parents at? Mm-hmm. What was the lack of responsibility on their part? Because how is a 17-year-old boy who isn't, he still goes to a pediatrician, filled with that much hate? And I honestly believe that if he weren't under arrest right there, he'd be made a hero in some circles. The bottom line is this. I'm not saying that every police officer is bad. Everybody knows that. And I'm not saying but we all have to be judged under the same standards of the law. And it is a shame that people, that the word accountability causes such rancor across the country of the United States. So now I got to go because I'm going to scream.
All right, deal.
Deal, we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you
so much
for sharing this with us today.
Take care. Talk to you soon. Okay.
You're listening to Justice Now on 94.7 The Wave. I'm Pat Prescott, and I am here in the studio right now with Frankie Ross and also our colleague Karen Adams from KNX. We just found out that Jeannie Buss just posted online about the Lakers stand on this whole social justice issue, and they are supporting the players' boycott right now that's going on of the NBA Finals. And the Dodgers and the Giants have also postponed their games as well. And a lot of people were talking about, should the players play or not, or is being there a bad thing when so many serious issues are going on in our communities that they want to address? And I'd love for you guys to weigh in on that.
Well, we now know that they're getting a lot of support in what they're doing. LA's mayor just came out and said he supports the Lakers and the players with their boycott. As you just said, Jeannie Buss, Jerry West, you have all manner of people coming out in support of these players in doing the right thing.
I mean, when they don't play, and you know this, Pat, because you're a big sports fan, millions and millions of dollars are lost.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It impacts the bottom line with corporations, with our business. When they don't play, when they get to the playoffs, there's a lot of money at stake.
Mm-hmm.
And, and that's the only time we really, we listen.
Yes.
Yeah.
When it comes down to money, when it comes down to
sometimes
dollars and cents.
That's what it takes.
Yeah, that's what it takes.
But here's the other thing. You know, with the pandemic, it has created such an unusual situation with this bubble where they're all there. And, you know, a lot of them are obviously on social media. But one of the conditions for many of them, including LeBron James, was that they would still be able to speak out on the social justice movement. And I think that having them there, because the eyes of the world are on there to watch basketball, you know, we are actually seeing some players we would have never heard speaking out. You know, people like George Hill, who I believe we played a comment from him, and so many others. How many people would have heard Doc Rivers' statement at the press conference after the game, if it weren't for the fact that they're actually playing? And we can replay that comment too.
Absolutely, we're gonna do absolutely.
That in just a moment, but I'd like for you all to respond on that first.
Well, I'm looking at this comment that that LeBron made, and he said, you know, it was the way the police conduct themselves. It makes him afraid to be a black man in America.
It's hard.
And he says, you know, he knows people get tired of him saying it, but you know. Black people are afraid of the police in this country.
Yeah, I think that Doc Rivers' comments were really so poignant last night.
They were.
Let's hear those again.
As far as the other situation, it's just so sad. You know, what stands out to me is just watching the Republican convention. And they're spewing this fear, right? Like, all you hear is Donald Trump and all of them talking about fear. We're the ones getting killed. We're the ones getting shot. We're the ones that we're denied to live in certain communities. We've been hung, we've been shot. And all you do is keep hearing about fear. It's amazing to me. Why we keep loving this country and this country does not love us back. It's just, it's really so sad. Like, I should just be a coach. And it's so often reminded of my color, you know? It's just really sad. We gotta do better. But we gotta demand better. Like, we got, you know, it's funny. We protest and they send riot guards, right? They send people in riot outfits. They go to Michigan with guns and they're spitting on cops and nothing happens. The training has to change in the police force. The unions have to be taken down in the police force. My dad was a cop. I believe in good cops. We're not trying to defund the police and take all their money away. We're trying to get them to protect us just like they protect everybody else. I didn't want to talk about it before the game because it's so hard, like, to just keep watching it. That video, if you watch that video, you don't need to be black to be outraged. You need to be American and outraged. And how dare the Republicans talk about fear? We're the ones that need to be scared. We're the ones having to talk to every black child. What white father has to give his son a talk about being careful if you get pulled over? It's just ridiculous. And it just keeps getting, it keeps going. There's no charges. Breonna Taylor, no charges, nothing. All we're asking is you live up to the Constitution. That's all we're asking for everybody, for everyone. Thank you.
That's Doc Rivers speaking from the NBA bubble. And we are doing Justice Now on 94.7 The Wave. Thank you so much for joining us. Pat Prescott here with Karen Adams and Frankie Ross. We're also taking your phone calls, and we've got a phone call right now. This, I believe, is Ty Johnson, and Ty is calling in. Ty, are you calling in from Huntington Beach?
I'm calling in from Huntington Park.
Thank you so much for calling in today.
No problem.
What are you thinking?
What I'm thinking is this. You know, I heard a couple of callers call in about what we need to do. And I think the one thing we need to do is educate ourselves on our political system here in America. We are not a democracy. We are a republic. That's why it's called the battle hymn of the republic. That's why we say, I pledge allegiance to the flag for which the republic stands for. So we all know trying to vote for the president It's the Electoral College that votes in the president. It's not us. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. Al Gore won the popular vote. But those powers that be deemed it and found it necessary to put the other person in. This is not right. We need to get rid of the senators that elect Caesar. These 20 to 30-year Republican senators down there in the South or any other state, you have no right to sit up there for that. We give you our, for lack of a better word, political power of attorney to do our bidding for us. And as African Americans in this country, we need to stop. We need to stop and think and really get out there and say, hey, look, if you're Senator so-and-so from some state and you're not doing your job, let us mobilize. Let us strengthen. Let us go out and vote you out of office. This is what we need to do. Let's get rid of the senators that elect Caesar, because the Caesar we have in now doesn't care about African Americans. He doesn't care about Latino Americans. He only cares about one particular type of American, and that's it.
Thank you so much for calling in today, Ty.
Thanks, Ty.
We're going to switch over now to another call. We have Carla from San Diego who is calling in on line one. Carla, are you there?
Yes, it's me.
Thanks so much for calling. Tell us real quickly what you're thinking about tonight.
Well, you know, I'm listening to everybody's comment, and I believe everybody has a valid story and a valid solution. And I just simply think that it's all about money and power. And we have more power than we give ourselves credit for. First of all, we are not sticking together the way we need to. And if we start to look at what corporations, what food industries these billionaires hold, we can stop this at its root. Because the systematic racism, the double standards, that's not going to ever change until we start to use our power. The boycott, when they did it in the 50s, worked. And we are not taking our dollars and putting them where they need to go. Mm-hmm. Stop them from having the power that they have craved and wanted since they brought us over here in chains. We've got to stop their financial ability to continue with this racism, or we're never going to stop it. It's never going to end.
Thank you so much.
We'll be bloody in the streets.
That really echoes what Frankie was saying earlier, too, I believe, in relation to the whole NBA boycott so forth.
You got to hit him in the wallet.
Yeah. We're going to take one more caller. Yeah. Let's hear from Ernest now. And Ernest is calling in on line three. Ernest, are you there?
Yes.
Thank you so much for calling today.
Hi. I was calling to talk about the topics that's going on today across America with the division of races and the police brutality and the militia groups and the white supremacists and just the unjustly treatment of black and brown people in America.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that. And what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that, first of all, why are white people so fearful of black people when they've done the most harm to us over centuries? Secondly, it's criminals in every race out there. It's black criminals, it's white, it's Hispanic, it's Asian, it's Puerto Ricans. I mean, it's bad in all races and nationalities, but why do they somehow pick black people to be the worst when we've been treated like the scum of the earth from day one?
That is such a great comment, too, that
it's the skin
we hear
color.
A lot. It is the skin color.
It's the skin color.
We're easily identified. I think mm-hmm. that is a big part of it as
That's
well.
That's all it is.
You stand out.
Yeah.
You could be anything, but you can't have dark skin in this country and in parts of the world, too, because the racism is not just here in the States. I've seen it in Mexico, in different parts of the world, in Europe. It's the skin color. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. One of the things that we've been talking about on Justice Now is the solutions that we can have to some of these issues. And joining us right now on the phone is Steve Bradford, who represents the 35th District in the California State Senate. And California lawmakers are in the process right now, up until the 31st, considering more than a dozen bills that are aimed at reducing, overseeing, and disciplining the kind of police violence that led to George Floyd's death and to those thousands more like him. Steve joining us to tell us. I believe you guys just got out of committee tonight, didn't you, Steve?
Well, we got out of committee this morning out of Assembly Judiciary Committee.
So tell us a little bit about what these bills represented, particularly the bill that you have written, and also what we can expect to see in terms of change that will affect the way police deal with African-Americans.
Well, collectively, the Legislative Black Caucus, which is a caucus of 10 throughout the state of California, we have, I think, 8 priority bills that are still alive that are dealing with police reform in some fashion. I'm authoring 2 of those measures, first being SB 731, which is known as the Kenneth Ross Jr. Decertification Act. Kenneth Ross Jr. is a young man, 2 years ago at the age of 25, was killed at Raleigh Park, a park, Pat, you know very well, where we have the annual Gardena Jazz Festival, where I grew up playing, coaching, and live right around the corner from. Kenneth Ross was killed by a Gardena police officer. And the decertification bill allows a independent commission to review the acts, egregious acts of law enforcement, and decertify them. California is one of only 5 states that doesn't have a police decertification, which prevents a police officer from quitting or resigning or being fired and then turning around and being hired by another agency. By decertification, it prevents them, just like a doctor who loses his license or a lawyer who's disbarred or a teacher who loses their credential, they can no longer work in that profession.
Okay, Senator, now these bills that you guys have online, you guys face a lot of opposition, including from the police unions out there. How are you going to get past that to get real change, real police reform?
Working. I mean, law enforcement has opposed this bill, just like they opposed Dr. Weber's use of deadly force, AB 392, which we got signed into law, the first police deadly force bill in the nation. Yes, we have great opposition to my bill, SB 731, but as you heard in the committee today, every law enforcement that's opposed and it totally supports we need decertification. They just don't like the language of my bill. So I find it somewhat ironic. They all agree that we need decertification. But if the police don't have total oversight, they're opposing this bill. And it's like letting the fox guard the hen house. We want civilian involvement in this oversight as well.
We're talking to Steve Bradford today on Justice Now, 94.7 The Wave. I'm Pat Prescott here with Karen Adams and also Frankie Ross. And we are just, you know, I know that as a black man yourself, it's got to be really hard for you to watch what's going on. But then to have the opportunity to actually try to do something about it must feel kind of good a little bit, right?
Oh, without a doubt. I tell folks, you run for office for 2 reasons, to do something or be something. I want to do something. And I've been elected 23 years, and I just want to fight the issues that many people walk away from or at least speak to, but really don't roll up their sleeves and try to get addressed. And this is considered in our business a heavy lift. And a heavy lift is one where you have to move a whole lot of people, resources, opinions in order to get it to the governor's desk. So those are the kind of bills I enjoy because it tests not only you but your colleagues and the state as a whole on what we're willing to, fight for. And this is something critically important. Again, California, this is the only way to get rid of bad cops. And this does not cast a stain on all police because you will even talk to individual police officers and departments. They agree. They want to get rid of the bad actors. But without decertification, you never will, because all we have right now is a wash, rinse, and repeat cycle where, again, they can be terminated from a department and quickly hired by another department. So,
So, Steve, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, Steve, I don't know if you watch any of the RNC or you've seen any clips on the
I'm news. Watching it now.
You're watching it now, okay. but what's your thoughts? What did you think when you heard Nikki Haley say that America is not racist? It's not a racist country.
It blew me away. I mean, it's one thing that this country cannot say it isn't, and that's a racist. This country was founded on racism. It was founded on exploiting and killing the red man, enslaving the black man, exploiting the brown and yellow man. This is what this country was built on. This is the foundation of who we are. Even if you read the full context of the Declaration of, Star Spangled Banner, it speaks to slaves and being able to control black folks. So this is who we are as a nation. So for someone to say that, it just blows me away.
Yeah, and as a lawmaker, how frustrating is it that when you see change needs to be made and you can't do it?
It's very frustrating, especially when people kind of want to always cast aspersion on the other party. Well, we have folks in our own party and sometimes folks who look like us who find a reason not to be as, I don't want to use the term progressive, but as willing to go as far for change that we all need. We all know that needs to happen in the state of California and throughout this country. So many times we're sticking our fingers in the wind and trying to see which way it blows because we're concerned about being reelected more so than moving good policy. So,
amen. We certainly have seen that.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, we know this has been a real busy day for you. We thank you for calling. It sounds like you're on the train or something.
No, that's not me. I was wondering where that's coming from.
I was wondering. Like, are you on the move?
Where is the train coming from?
Yeah, I'm in my office.
We want to thank you for calling in tonight for Justice Now. And please keep us posted on the progress on those bills in the state legislature, okay?
I appreciate it. We got 5 days to get it done, so we hope to push it across and get it to the governor's desk and get a signature on it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling
in
tonight.
Thank you, Pat.
We've got a few minutes left to make some final comments on this. As I said earlier when we started the program, we had planned tonight for a what was a really great show about black people in business and about the history of systemic racism in the business community in terms of hiring and also in terms of entrepreneurs. We will be airing that show. We promise you that. That'll come up in the future. But we could not miss this opportunity to give you a chance to be able to talk to us tonight about what you're thinking, what you're feeling. The emotional climate to me feels an awful lot like it did when we first started these discussions.
Yes.
That,
it's like we're back at square one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, we're always back at square one. We've never really gotten off first base.
No.
Not really.
What about Breonna Taylor?
Yes.
I mean, who graces the cover of Vanity Fair this month. Mm-hmm. I mean, that no one has been arrested.
Nothing.
And, you know, you want to talk about, well, what did they do?
Yeah.
She was in her bed, sleeping.
In her bed, sleeping.
Getting ready to go to work the next day and to be a productive part of society. Nothing has happened. This is what makes it discouraging. It's not just Jacob Blake. It's that Jacob Blake is like the tip of the iceberg.
Yes. And then George Floyd, unfortunately, his death opened up a lot of eyes, though. This pandemic opened up a lot of eyes because people were still. They were still enough to see what was going on, what we've been seeing for years and years.
People are tired of it. The young people are tired of it. It's on the news. I mean, there have been shootings. I mean, there are probably shootings across the country there we don't even know about.
Yeah,
you know they are.
Yes.
We don't see. They're not captured on video. And it's the young people that are coming out and marching and protesting and really bringing this to the forefront.
Yeah, these events have opened up a lot of eyes. They have also opened up a lot of wounds and for people to have to relive all these moments, to think about the things that have happened to you and your families, the talk that black and brown people have to have with their children every night before they leave their home. There is a lot to unwrap there. And our goal really in doing this continuing series is to get a chance to have some of those discussions and to try to come up with some meaningful solutions in conjunction with all of our allies out there. And we hope that those of you who are allies are realizing what we talk about. We're talking about the long haul. This is a tough thing. And as we've been trying to tell you from the beginning, we've been living this for a very long time. Appreciate you going on the ride with us and certainly hope that you're going to hang in there because we have a lot more work to be done.
Absolutely.
And we're traumatized.
Absolutely.
We are traumatized. Our people are traumatized.
And we're tired because we've all been here. We're tired. Like you can hear it in Doc's voice. He's tired. We're tired.
I didn't want to come in and do this show tonight.
You're tired.
I'm tired.
No, you're tired. I saw it in your face.
Dealing with it.
Really? Again?
And I know you guys know what we're talking about, but I just want to thank you, Karen Adams. Of course, you can hear Karen on KNX. So proud of you holding it down over there.
Thank you.
Frankie Ross, our fearless leader. our assistant brand manager.
I don't feel like it, but
and that comforting voice at nights, and also the creator of our amazing Wave the second wave, our HD2 station, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, which is evolving.
Yeah,
we got changes coming.
But most importantly, we thank you, our Wave family, for being with us, for giving us a chance to get together on opportunities like this, to hold each other's hands, and to try to move forward in solidarity.
And thanks everybody for calling too. We really appreciate it.
We do.
94.7 The Wave, a radio.com station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!